The deadline for webcasters to pony up or shut down has come and gone, and the standoff continues over the royalties they will pay for streaming music online. Webcasters large and small say the proposed higher rates could put many out of business. As NPR's Felix Contreras reports, there's now another roadblock to a settlement.
Okay, let's recap. Back in March, a three-judge panel created to oversee royalties in the digital realm announced new royalty rates for music streamed online. Commercial webcasters had been paying a percentage of their annual income, but the new rates would require them to determine how many listeners they had each time they played a particular song. Non-commercial webcasters, many of whom were represented by National Public Radio in negotiations, said they couldn't afford the technology for this kind of monitoring. Smaller commercial webcasters said the new rates would amount to more than their annual income. And large webcasters, with thousands of channels, balked at a $500 per channel minimum fee imposed as part of the new rates. So the webcasters appealed to a federal court. Smaller webcasters and non-commercial outlets have reported positive talks with Sound Exchange, the nonprofit set up by the record industry to collect royalties. For larger webcasters, Sound Exchange offered to cap the minimum per channel fee, but the webcasters would have to encode their streams with software that prevents their listeners from recording them, what's called stream ripping.
The connection of the minimum fee to stream ripping is phantasmical. It doesn't exist.
Jonathan Potter is the executive director of the Digital Media Association, which represents the six largest webcasters, AOL, Yahoo, Live365, Pandora, Real Networks, and MTV. Potter blames the record industry, specifically its lobbying group, the Recording Industry Association of America. He says the industry is trying to push webcasters to adopt the kinds of copy protection measures it's endorsed for CDs to prevent unauthorized peer-to-peer file sharing.
The RAAA and Sound Exchange have decided, hey, we've got these guys, we've got a gun to their heads. Perhaps we can box them in and force them to give us something that they've never been prepared to give us before. And that would be a technological mandate to block stream ripping. And we're just not going to do that.
The kinds of digital locks the record industry wants to put on internet radio are either not feasible, expensive, or not reliable, according to Ken Fisher, editor of the technology website Ars Technica. And he says they're unnecessary.
It's almost a guess at the next threat. There's no real proof that stream ripping is actually a problem.
But Richard Addis, spokesperson for Sound Exchange, says it is. He cites the wide availability of stream ripping software, and he says webcasters have as much to lose from the practice as the record industry.
If somebody's a fan of 60s music, let's say, and a webcaster has a 60s channel, somebody goes and rips the music for a week, they don't need the webcaster anymore.
There's a lot at stake in this standoff, says Ars Technica's Ken Fisher. He's been following the negotiations and says the record industry is desperate after its attempts to stifle unauthorized peer-to-peer file sharing have failed.
The future of media is streaming over networks like the internet. So this is a very important decision. It's sending out a message saying, well, we're interested in this new medium, but only if it's played 100% on our terms. And that's something that, if I were the music industry, I would think twice about.
It may have time to do that. The webcaster's appeal is still pending, and there are two bills in Congress that would roll back the online royalties to their previous rates. Felix Contreras, NPR News.